sucks. Chemicals in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive. What is up, everybody? Jake Rowe, Palmer Toms. This is the Georgia Show, and we are from Dogs HQ. A lot to talk about, Palmer. I mean, it seems like it's been forever since we've kind of been back, since Sunday, really, since the last time we had a chance to talk. A lot's happened. Got transfer portal stuff going on. We've got so much other stuff going on in terms of the college football playoff, and you know, those games start up tomorrow night, Palmer. And then we've got, on top of it all, Georgia's prepping for the Sugar Bowl. And I guess that's what we kind of need to get to first in a lot of ways. And that's, you know, kind of, all right, what has Georgia been up to here lately? And this is something that I'm pretty sure that our dudes, Rusty and Roos kind of covered the other night. But listen, there have been more practices since then. And I think the big news is something that kind of we dropped yesterday, Palmer, and that's Christian Miller back at practice. I was told specifically by a source, quote, he is back, end quote. So, huge news for Georgia that they might be as healthy as they've been all year long in game 14.
Yeah, and that's not terribly surprising news. I mean, both of us sat there and watched him warm up for that SEC championship game. And I don't know about you, Jake, but I thought he might give it a go that day. I mean, he looked like he was ready.
He looked great.
I mean, yeah, he looked really good. And, you know, obviously they're able to get by against Texas without him. You know, Xavier McLeod is playing really good football at this time. And I think that right there, you know, the fact that you've got a fully healthy defensive line front with Jordan Hall now in the mix and very much a part of the rotation, and Xavier McLeod, you know, late into his first season at Georgia, you know, finding his stride, Christian Miller getting back, obviously the two, you know, veterans in Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson. Warren Brinson playing incredible football right now. This defensive line is definitely playing its best at the biggest time, and I think that's huge for a game when projections would say that they're playing Notre Dame, who's a super physical run team. Georgia has struggled against the run. You want to be at your best against the run. And I say that they've struggled against the run. They've struggled against outside run, quarterback run, because they just looked really dominant against the run against Texas. So maybe I shouldn't say that. But I think all in all, you know, the fact that they are getting this defensive line completely healthy at this time to take on potentially Notre Dame and that physical rush attack, it's really good.
Yeah, I think that there's this idea that, you know, this Georgia, any defense out there really is going to be as dominant as Georgia was in 2021 against the run. And, you know, I kind of went back and something I've done over the past couple weeks is I've gone back and I've looked, all right, let's go back and look at those 2021 and 2022 defenses. And what has it been about the quarterback run these past 2 years? I think some of it has had to do with who they've played. Jalen Milroe and Haynes King are very much different than anybody, any of those defenses had to play. And even some of like Alabama with the not so much of a design run, but just Bryce Young and his feet kind of cost Georgia some problems both times, really. I mean, you know, Alabama.
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, CJ Stroud as well. But Alabama moved the ball up and down the field in 2021 national championship game. They just couldn't finish drives. Georgia played good red zone defense. It kind of reminds me of a Georgia defense we've been watching here lately, is teams move the ball on them pretty well. You just have a really tough time scoring in the red zone. But I think that the standard is kind of like, hey, that they're just going to shut everybody down like that. And that's just not going to be the case. They're not as deep. They're not as dominant. But this is as good when you have a healthy Miller. When you have Hall playing his best ball of the season, it's not even great. He hasn't played a bunch of ball. He looked terrible early on in that game against UMass. He looked better against Tech. He looked a lot better against Texas. You know, that's the guy you're looking to kind of get back into full tilt here. You mentioned Xavier McLeod. Unsung heroes all unsung hero all year long is Nas Stackhouse. Just the number of snaps that he's played, the durability over the past three seasons is astronomical. This guy started every single ball game possible, I think, for the last 3 years. And that's at one of the most physically grueling positions there, and he's playing it at a high level. So, yeah, I mean, there are some tough matchups for Georgia on in these playoffs, like Riley Leonard from Notre Dame. We'll be getting to him in just here in a second when we talk about Prize Picks. But Riley Leonard from Notre Dame is a tough matchup. But you can't ask for any more in terms of being able to match up throughout these playoffs than to get yourself right along the defensive front. And, you know, you want to talk about all of the things that Georgia bounced back from this season and battled back from, that defensive line. Dude, we were looking in game one. Mykel Williams had just gotten hurt. Game one, Georgia had Nas Stackhouse.
Warren Brinson had gotten hurt earlier in the game.
Exactly. Warren Brinson had gotten hurt. Nas Stackhouse, Christian Miller, and Ty Ingram Dawkins. That was it as far as just experience. Gabe Harris, if you want to throw him in there just a little bit as well. But, like, those four guys was it. That was it. For the next couple
Joseph
of games.
Joseph Jonah-Ajanye was playing very valuable snaps, meaningful snaps at, you know, in his first game.
And he was 17. Yeah. 17-year-olds, I mean, that's unheard of. They don't get to play. Oh, never mind. That happens all the time now. But anyway, I mean, you know, he really didn't turn 18 until last month. But it's just, you know, it's kind of wild if you look back early in the season, like, all right, this is what Georgia's going to have to deal with and all those D-line injuries. And, you know, now you got Warren Brinson playing at his level, some younger guys kind of coming up. Man, I feel really good about that group for Georgia, especially when you consider Smile Munden is back as well.
Bingo. That's exactly what I was going to say is that you add in Smile Munden, you know, who got hurt against after that Alabama game and missed a big portion of that middle part of the season. And now that he's completely back and looked really good, you know, you're playing – front seven football is looking a lot better for Georgia at this point. Still got to shore some things up on the back end, but, you know, in terms of, I mean, a guy that's been criticized and, you know, caught some heat from Georgia fans, Dalen Everett, he played great against Texas, had one of his better games. You know, his top two games in a Georgia uniform probably both came against Texas.
Oh, God. Dalen Everett put on a gold jacket right now if he's got to play against Texas. I mean, did they just go ahead and give it to him?
And Jalen Walker, too.
Yeah. Mykel Williams as well. I mean, you know, but those three guys have made a lot of money against Texas. I mean, if those three guys are all in the NFL draft this next year and they start playing that highlight tape, you know, a lot of it's going to be from Darrell K. Royal Stadium and Mercedes-Benz Stadium for those two guys, without a doubt.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of burn orange.
Yeah, even some Clemson orange in those games because Mykel and Jalen both played really well against Clemson too. So there's a lot of that. But, all right, let's look on these Prize Picks, Palmer. Our friends over at Prize Picks, we love them. We love Prize Picks. Prize Picks loves us too for a multitude of reasons. We just keep, you know, sending our hard earned their way. But listen, it's so much fun. It's very easy. It's very intuitive. Prize Picks is awesome. It's daily fantasy. It's skills based. If you follow college football, you can make educated picks on these things every single week. You can have a leg up. You can bet as little as you want. You can bet as much as you want. You can deposit as much as you want. It's very, very fun. And we got three picks for you dialed up already. We'll start with the first game here that's going to start tomorrow night, Palmer, and that is Notre Dame and Indiana. The first ever on-campus college football playoff game happens in Notre Dame. I think that's fitting. I'm cool with that. That place is historic. We got Riley Leonard, 11.5 rush attempts. Palmer, I love the over. I just love the over. When you consider scrambles, design, quarterback run, all of that stuff, sacks. Sacks, yeah, with Indiana having a good defense, a very aggressive front. I like 11.5 rush attempts there.
And you consider the weather there too. It's going to be cold. That is run the football weather.
It's going to be chilly. That's right. That ball ain't heavy either. So that's what Herschel told us. Quinn Ewers, 260.5 pass yards against Clemson. Now listen, I'm going to cop out here. That's what I want to do whenever I ask my wife if she wants to go out to eat and we eat somewhere new and we have a bad meal. I'm like, hey, listen, this is your pick. Palmer, this is your pick. You got the under on Quinn Ewers, 260.5.
I also kind of like it. I like it a little bit too. I think this is going to be a game where Texas is going to end up pounding the rock.
And I think that we may see some Arch Manning. I mean, I stand by that. I think that he is, and they can operate their offense just as well, if not better, with Arch under center. I don't really know why they haven't made the move to him full time. Maybe they do in the college football playoffs. Maybe that's the wrinkle. That's
I watched him turn to Arch in some meaningful minutes. Now that wasn't the ideal situation against Georgia, and he did a thing or two, but he also looked like a deer in the headlights. So, you know, they may be late on this. Who knows? But and then the last one, Jaden Fielding, kicker for Ohio State. He missed a couple kicks against Michigan, I do believe. I think he's going to make them, but I think he's going to get some chances in this one too, because Ohio State, terrible in the red zone. Tennessee, very good defense. Ohio State's going to struggle with a defensive front, and I think they're going to have to make some field goals in that game to get a win. So I like that over 1.5 field goals made. And if you notice there, there's that little demon right there, a little red demon. That means that we get like a little bit of an extra boost on our odds for our play this week.
And in Jake Pro fashion, I'm putting that all on you, Jake. That one's all you.
There you go. Okay, I'll take it. All right, so promo code DAWGS, and what does that get them, Palmer? DAWGS.
Promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, gets you $50 on your first play of five. First play of five, you deposit, you play five. Win or lose, you get $50 if you use promo codes DAWGS, DAWGS.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, Palmer, moving on here. We've got the college football playoff preview. But before we do that, I kind of wanted to jump into just a little bit of portal talk, just a little bit of portal gossip here, if we will. And, you know, looking at kind of where Georgia is in the transfer portal right now, wide receiver and safety, clear needs. I think defensive line is a little bit more on a back burner for Georgia. Not necessarily that it's more of a, hey, the right guy's got to get in. The other positions are we're evaluating everybody who's in. And I think that's probably true for everything. Quarterback also seems to be on the menu. Things happen so fast there with Dylan Lonergan coming in for a visit on Monday, jumping to Boston College a couple of days later. That was interesting to me as well. But, Palmer, when I look at this portal thing, it's really kind of like, all right, wide receiver and safety, which one of those dominoes fall? And then we can kind of sort of maybe focus on what else is going on. But it sounds like those two positions are kind of Johnny get your gun there.
Yeah, and I think you look at Georgia's roster right now, and it makes sense. Wide receiver, you're likely going to lose a lot. With Dyke Lovett being out of eligibility after this year, Ra-Ra Thomas being dismissed from the team before the season, but you know, counting in terms of the depth numbers. Hey, Colby Young, is he getting a year of eligibility with that JUCO ruling for Diego Pavia? Regardless of what a waiver might say for his legal troubles this year, obviously he's got a lot to work out, off the football field, in the courtroom, but, you know, could he be back? That's possible. But I don't know that Georgia is counting on that. And I would guess that, you know, you are making plans as if he's not going to be with the team next year. Michael Jackson was somebody that they've lost to the portal and expected to lose preseason. Arian Smith is somebody that's got a decision to make. So it makes sense why wide receiver would be a position that you are going after hard. And that's one that Georgia, you know, has shown that it will pursue in the portal. I mean, just those names that I mentioned, all four of those are transfers outside of Arian Smith in terms of Lovett, Ra-Ra, and Colby Young and Michael Jackson. So London Humphreys being another one that they added. So Georgia has added to their roster, to their talented team from that wide receiver transfer portal. And looks like they're trying to do so again. Dane Key, obviously a big name to know there. Don't fall for the burner account, as many have done. But Dane Key, you know, coming off of a visit to Georgia, that is one to watch. Zachariah Branch, I mean, another name. And hey, maybe the Branch brothers could hit both needs there with wide receiver and safety, both Zachariah and Zion coming from USC.
I've heard some buzz that Georgia would have been interested in Zion if it had just been Zion that jumped into the portal. So I'm interested to see what Georgia does there because, you know, the early word we've gotten is that Georgia is going to be very serious in its pursuit of the Branch brothers. And there's some more detail on that, and there will be more detail on that over at Dawgs HQ. But you know, suffice it to say that Georgia's going to be very interested there. I just don't know how quickly they want to move the process. But Georgia's been
And didn't they enter with a do not contact tag?
Yeah, I think that's basically – listen, I think that's just to kind of be like to limit I don't know, man. There are a lot of swingers in the portal and you know, not talking about upside-down pineapples here. There are a lot of people who just swing at everything, right? And they contact everybody, and they reach out to everybody big just to see.
Schools, that is.
Schools, right. And so sometimes I think those guys are kind of like, hey, listen, I know who my four or five are going to be, so let's just keep everybody else out of this and keep my phone from ringing.
Yeah, the do not contact doesn't necessarily mean, hey, I know where I'm going. My one school, this is the only people that I'm going to talk to. It just kind of allows –
If I was a kid's agent and I was like, hey, you got this, you got five or six schools you like, okay. Hey, listen, if you'll put that DNC in there, I'll give you $5,000 right now. Like, I'll just keep $5,000 out of what you're supposed to pay me next time. If you'll just keep that, keep my phone from ringing off the hook. I got a lot going on.
It allows you to direct where your recruitment is going a little bit more.
Yeah. Right. It'd be like that analogy I made with the coaches the other day. Like, if you're a player during bowl practice and you didn't come to me and ask for more money when the regular season's over with, I'm probably going to be a little nicer to you in practice. I'm probably going to, you know, like, hey, listen, look at this guy's effort. This guy's awesome. I'm probably going to probably show some favoritism there. But also, you know, just kind of looking at the portal, before we move on, Palmer, the one thing I've had about the wide receiver and something I wanted to share with our audience, and it's kind of a thought I've had at the position. One wide receiver, two, it doesn't matter. The number one thing Georgia needs, and we've talked about outside receivers, slot receivers. I don't even care about that as much as this one thing. Georgia needs guys that are called to play. Georgia needs a guy that is called to play the wide receiver position. That's his spot. He was born to play that spot. He's played that spot for a long time. He knows how to play it. He's a natural receiver of the football. He's a good route runner. And he's going to play that position on the whole for you at a high level because those guys make offenses go. Those guys convert third downs. They make contested catches. They get open in key moments. Those not the and then
Jake,
I'm not,
are you saying that Georgia doesn't need somebody that's a track star turned wide receiver?
It's not even just that. It's Dylan Bell too, a quarterback, a high school quarterback turned receiver.
Yeah. I get what you're saying there. Yeah.
Those guys have a place. They are – listen, Arian Smith catches 65% of the balls thrown his way. All right? That's better than most of – a lot of your top receivers in college football, like a lot of your really good ones, like Juice Wells and most of those guys from Ole Miss and Ryan Williams and all those guys, even with the drops. So I understand where folks are coming from. That momentum that Georgia loses early in games when it targets him and he puts the ball on the ground is huge. That's why I think a guy like Dane Key or a guy that you know, or some of these other players that you see out there, like J. Michael Sturdivant, I think he's a raw talent. He doesn't really fit the bill for me because he's a 6'3" speedster who's had some trouble with drops. He's a freak. But he's not really, and he's put up big numbers, but he's not that technically sound guy. That's why I just think Dane Key is such a major target for Georgia. And he's going to take a visit to Nebraska, where his former wide receivers coach is. Still going into that visit, still feel really good about where Georgia stands. Me personally, I can only speak for myself.
But the Georgia fans, and you look at our message board, people that have been watching the state championships these last couple of days, that they really like that. The track star from Langston Hughes that had a huge game. I'm blanking on his last name.
Maurice Gleep.
Ironic that, you know, you of hey, we don't want track stars turn football players. Oh, but hey, this track star, we want him to turn into a football
player. Listen, coaches are no different than fans in that regard. They see a guy, they see 10-200 meters, and they can't help themselves. They can't, and then we wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to help myself on NCAA either. Back in the day when I used to put the 40 times on there, and you see like the three or four guys per class that would run a 4.18. Oh, those guys get offers
I want. He would sort and just. You know, go to the 40 times and just offer.
Yeah, dude, those top dudes in the country get those top fastest guys in the country get offers for sure. Dylan Brooks said, which early enrollees are practicing with the team? Dom Kelly has been with the team for a few days now, which is hilarious. He's a reclassified, graduates high school a year and a half early, and he's the first guy to join the team. He's actually gone through acclimation and been through some padded practices with the team. Mason Short, Ethan Barber, CJ Wiley, and Zayden Walker will practice with the team tomorrow. I believe they report to campus today, and they'll start going through acclimation tomorrow.
And Ethan, crazy, and given that they played in a state championship game on Tuesday.
Yeah, they're going to – hey, listen, their legs are going to get plenty of rest. They're going to go through practice and do a few things, but they're going to get plenty. And then the team's going to break here soon. The team will break next 2 or 3 days and get a couple days off around Christmas. So they'll be rested up, ready to roll, get that full bowl experience, all those nice meals down in New Orleans, and they'll get there. And then I expect a lot of this remaining class to be with Georgia whenever it goes to the bowl site down in Louisiana. And if things happen quick enough on the transfer portal front, if the Georgia adds a guy here this weekend or whatever, let's say Dane Key were to commit to Georgia on Sunday or something, then – you're probably going to end up with Dane Key at some point down with the team in New Orleans. I don't know if he'll be going through any practices, but he'll probably be down there with the team at some point as well, whoever they add. I'm not saying that Key's a lock or anything, although I would pick Georgia to land him. But they're going to get a lot of these guys to be with the team here in the coming days, and that's going to be, you know, kind of a lot of fun. Palmer, do we have a graphic for this? Do we have a
majority?
What's that now?
The majority of this class that's early enrolling. I mean,
yeah,
we were talking about it, and Jake said, hey, are these the only two people that aren't early enrolling? And I said, well, hold as is. So, yeah. I mean, group that is early enrolling, and that's the norm these days. Interested to hear. I mean, we didn't get a signing day press conference with Kirby Smart, which is disappointing, but understandable given the timing of that and middle of SEC championship week. But I'm interested to hear him talk about this class of 2025 when he gets a chance, and we'll get bullies and all that.
All right. Listen, we got to get some playoff picks in here because we haven't actually, you know, really taken a whole, you know, a very good look at the bracket or anything like that. So I'm excited to kind of, you know, get a better look at this thing. And I'm trying to find, do you have a good graphic? Yeah, we'll take that one. That one works.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take that one. That one works. Looks good. All right, so college football playoff bracket. Palmer, we can get bogged down in this pretty quick and get people real bored with us because of the amount of football we watch and the players. We could go really inside baseball here. So let's just try to keep it moving, and we'll start at the top. Who do you like, Texas Clemson?
Covers that spread. I think it's a lot of points there, but I think that Dabo's got a squad that'll put up a fight, but I think Texas is too talented. I think that they win that game.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be close. I don't think either team's very good personally. Maybe both deserving of being in the playoff, but neither one is super dangerous. I'm going to take Texas too, but I think Clemson covers. I like a Clemson cover. I also like Tennessee to beat Ohio State on the road. Who you got there?
I've got a weird feeling about this Ohio State bunch, and obviously there's a lot of pressure on Ryan Day. I'm kind of the belief that I don't think Tennessee is that good. I can't say that too loud around here in Nashville, but I don't think Tennessee's all that great. I don't think Nico is all that great. I do think he's a really good running back, and that'll help them in that weather, but I think Ohio State's got some talent and some guys that'll be ticked off.
Tell you this, if Ohio State gets past Tennessee in that defensive front, I think Ohio State's playing on January, in the third week in January. I think that they're all the way down there at the line. I think they're making the national championship game if they can get past Tennessee's defensive front, because I don't – unless they run into Texas, I don't think anybody else is going to challenge them up front like Tennessee is, and that's kind of their Achilles heel. That's kind of where they're going to struggle.
Ohio State. I do think Texas and Ohio State will match up. I mean – you know, not. I don't know if we want to get through that top half of the bracket, but I like Texas over Arizona State. I like Oregon. I like Ohio State over Oregon. So I do think those two teams match up in the semis.
Okay. I like Texas and Oregon matching up in the semis there too, if we want to get all the way down there. So we'll go ahead and put Texas and Oregon in the semis, and you've got Ohio State and Texas in the semis. On the bottom side of the bracket, I know that I'm not applying this same thing to Ohio State as much, but in this matchup of teams with a week and a half off or 2 weeks off each before they have to play another game, I like the team. Both of them are coming off losses. This is so tough for me because I do think SMU has some grit to them, but I think Penn State's got something to prove. I like Penn State in the same way that I like Texas. I like them to win but not cover.
Set here. I don't know why. I think, you know, I like Kevin Jennings and that football team there, but I don't know why. I got a weird feeling if James Franklin was the first, you know, home loss playoff era, the commitment of that, hey, congratulations, Penn State, you would have, you know, made all these 12-team playoffs out in the 4-team era. Oh, by the way, here's a loss. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm going SMU.
Okay. And then Indiana, Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame to win that game. I think Indiana is a golden matchup for Georgia, but I think Notre Dame wins. Yep.
I like a Notre Dame-Georgia matchup in New Orleans.
Okay, who you got? I've got Penn State moving on there too. And then I've got Penn State beating Boise State, and I've got Georgia beating Notre Dame there. Penn State, Georgia in the semis. You've got who in the semis?
I think Georgia beats Notre Dame. And then obviously I've got SMU in that quarterfinal matchup with Boise State. And I think Boise State gets that done. I think that they, you know, the little bit of Bronco, Boise State Bronco magic out there at the Fiesta Bowl. We've seen that before. So I've got Georgia and Boise up in the semifinals in the Orange Bowl. And Ohio State matching up in the Cotton Bowl.
I think that's a golden matchup for Georgia if they can get Boise State in there, because you deal with a traditional run game against a great back, but not necessarily that quarterback run threat that you would deal with any other place. All right, I've got Georgia making the national championship. I've got Texas making the national championship. Georgia, Texas, part three for the national championship, and I'm going to take the Dogs.
Another one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium too. So
yeah.
I've got Georgia beating Boise State, and I know, Jake, this would have been so much better if we had been able to advance teams in our bracket or whatever as we're talking about this, but a semifinal, I've got Georgia over Boise State, I've got Ohio State over Texas there in that semifinal, and I've got Ohio State beating Georgia in the national championship game.
Ooh, this man. We're done with this guy. He's over. We're kicking him off the show. Now we'll bring him back. All right, there's your picks. Palmer's got Ohio State winning it all. I've got Georgia winning it all. This is why you guys like me and not him.
But you didn't let me get to my point of I picked against Georgia against Texas both times they played them. So,
All right, well, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about Palmer's picks? Y'all let us know in the comments. Y'all let us know this week. Listen, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to post Palmer's addresses, his home address to his family's house, and his address in Athens so that y'all can get at him if you need to. And let's dox this man. Let's give this man what he deserves, he's trying to do the Lord's work, but Uncle Glenn Hartley is not pleased. Guys, we love you. We thank you so much. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. We will be back on Sunday night to talk. That will be the second. We are trying to figure out what we're going to do around the holiday schedule, next week, but Palmer and I will be in New Orleans early for team arrival and all that stuff. We're going to have you covered for the Sugar Bowl. We're going to have you covered for the transfer portal. There'll probably be an emergency podcast or something like that at some point here with these transfer portal guys coming in and out. But stick with us. Come on over to Dogs HQ 27 days for $1. We'd love to have you. Take it easy.